Good evening. You've tuned in to Paradigm Shifters. And tonight, we have something different. Two different Paradigm Shifters. Half hour each. The first one is Gladys McCoy, and the second, Rob Ryan. Stay tuned. Good evening, everyone. Good evening. You've tuned in to Paradigm Shifter. And tonight, we've got a wonderful Paradigm Shifter who's coming in to help you empower yourself, even though the waves of change are just swashbuckling these days. And the technique she's going to talk about tonight, and I know she probably has even other techniques, is dowsing a clear path forward. She wants to uplift people to help them empower themselves as we go through these incredible challenges these days. So meet Gladys McCoy. Gladys.
Hi there.
Hi, Gladys of the Ozark Research Institute, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, you've been dowsing for quite a while, and I know you're going to give the big talk at the Dowsers Conference in Santa Cruz that's coming up. When did you start dowsing?
I've been dowsing probably about 25 years now, but the first time I came to Santa Cruz for a conference, probably 20 years ago.
Oh, wow. So you're quite practiced. You're adept at it.
I have doused for some time.
Wow.
I learned to douse by osmosis. I followed my husband around as he did all of his dowsing and realized all of a sudden that I knew where the water was, and I knew how to answer questions about dowsing. And before I ever had an official lesson in dowsing, it was just by observation more than anything else. Of course, I believed in it because I knew about dowsing as a kid. Hmm. In Walnut Creek, California, we had a dowse well.
Oh, really?
And so, because we lived way out out in the country at that time.
At that time, it was country. Now
it was
wall-to-wall people. Right?
We had huge walnut groves and things like that.
Oh, wow.
So, I learned to douse, and it just has become a part of my life. And now I know that dowsing is more than just finding water. You know, we can use it for so many things.
So what do you do? Let's be specific, because as I've talked to a number of different dowsers, I'm fascinated by the fact that there are many, many styles of dowsing, from the water witching to what do you use? I've used a tea bag on a string.
Did you?
Sure.
It works.
It sure does.
Yes. I mean, anything that you can put on a string, you can use as a pendulum.
Hmm.
But, you know, I do use the L rods and the traditional Y rod, and I use my pendulum. When I do personal dowsing for myself and for other people, I use a pendulum most of the time.
And does it help to have a pendulum on a, you know, if you have a more precious stone or you have a more valuable pendulum?
Not
does
really.
That make any difference?
You know, they all work. I happen to have one that was given to me by a man many, many years ago, and it's my favorite when I'm dowsing for other people. It's the one I use.
Wonderful.
Because I'm real comfortable with it.
So when you say dowsing a clear path forward, have you been able to do that for yourself with the pendulum?
I feel like I have not only dowsed myself a clear path forward, but I am in a place where I know without a doubt that everything that I need in my life is going to be provided for me.
Wow. And you think that dowsing has been a way to get there?
I believe it. It's brought me to a peace,
mm-hmm,
and to a place of knowing that I am connected to all that is and to every living thing on our earth, including our earth, and that everything is going to be perfectly calm and beautiful.
Hmm.
You know, I feel it. It's a peace that I have within me, and it's a knowing that everything is going to be okay.
Now, does that come because, how can I ask this? Is it a product of being a regular dowser, which is a kind of a meditation that attunes you with energy, isn't it?
It is, and it is a part of being a dowser.
Hmm.
Being a dowser brings you to that place of knowing, of accepting what we already know and what all the abilities that we had as children seem to come flowing back to us as we learn to douse and accept that we can get answers. Now, we all know the rods are not magic. They have no magic. The magic is within us. But it has. It has opened the door for me to many, many other things. I have become a light worker where I am working with other people to make a difference in the world. And I think that's what we're here for. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to stay positive in this world and not go to the negative side of all the things that are going on.
And it can be hard if you don't think you can figure out what's coming up or which way to go.
This is true. But when you come to that peace and that knowing that you're going to be okay, you just don't worry about things. And it's not like being an ostrich and sticking your head in the ground and ignoring what's going on around you. It is a knowing that you're going to be fine. Whatever happens, we're going to be okay. You know?
Tell me this. This might be an odd question, but, you know, if you work with the universal energies and there are new downloads and so on, is the dowser making contact with those and bringing them through and integrating new energies? Is that too big a leap there?
No, I don't think so. I think the dowsers are more equipped to handle the new energy that's coming in, and we all know that there is a lot of it coming in at this time.
Boy, oh boy.
And if you can't, you know, handle that, many people are choosing to exit at this time because it's just too much for them. I'm saying they choose to, but they have come to the end of their time, and they're moving on because they can't be here when that full force energy does show up. But I think that's what we're here for. I think that's what the dowsers are for. I mean, we're going to be in great demand because we have the talents and we have the skills that we need to make a difference in this world. When that energy does come full force, we are very positive thinking people. And I believe that we see things as, you know, like the glass half full rather than half empty.
Tell me this. Did you douse when this big energy is going to really come in a greater wave?
No.
You know, why?
I trust that everything is in perfect order.
Okay.
And it will happen as it's supposed to happen. But I think we need to be prepared by learning all the skills that we can, not just the dowsing skills, because certainly there's many, many other things out there for us besides just learning to douse. But once you learn the dowsing skill, it opens you to many, many other aspects of the metaphysical world, as they call it, metaphysical, where we can tap into that wonderful energy that's out there. We can make a difference in people's health. We can make a difference in, you know, in our health, certainly.
Have you made any difference in your own health using these techniques and your awakening system? I think of it as an awakening vibrational system.
Absolutely. And, you know, I had open-heart surgery almost 25 years ago.
Oh, you did?
And I have never had any problems with my surgery or with my heart. And I believe that it's because I have stayed in that place of knowing and being positive that I'm going to be okay. They tell me, they told me 10 years tops, max, that that would last for me. Not true, you know. And they cut me loose and said, you know, you don't have to come back for a year because you're doing so well. So, and I do that. We do that every Tuesday night here at ORI. That's what we do. We have a healing meditation group that gathers. We not only work with health, but we work with crime in the city.
Oh, do you? How interesting.
Yeah. Trying to clear. You can use dowsing to help clear the energy of the of of crime in a community.
Can you tell us how to do that?
Well, I just would pick up my pendulum if I had a specific area that I was working with.
Right.
And, of course, a lot of my work is done from a meditative state where we hold that loving energy for the community, you know, and keep it positive. But you just, your pendulum would just, you know, automatically go. If you needed to remove something with your pendulum, it goes in a counterclockwise circle.
And so that counterclockwise circle actually removes the negative energy?
I believe it is just a focus of our mind. It's a focus for us to put our mind on. And so, you know, and it will spin in a counterclockwise circle, then it will spin in clockwise when you want to put the good stuff in, which is peace, you know, and love and harmony, whatever you think, you know, is needed in the community.
Well, you call it the Ozark Research Institute. Do you do research there? Are you track of all that?
There are people call in here every week for help, but they call for, you know, everybody's in financial straits now. Everybody needs money. And we get a lot of financial, you know, people calling for financial things also. But we have people in 25 countries that are members of this organization.
Wow.
And we get a lot of calls.
Are they all dowsers, or do you need
They're not all dowsers. A lot of them don't even know about dowsing. But at all of our events, we teach dowsing so that people can learn it. I teach dowsing here on a pretty regular basis at the building that we have. But, you know, you can clean up, you know, toxic waste by just changing one molecule of a contaminant. And, I mean, there are so many things that you can do with the dowsing.
And you can change a molecule
with
your dowsing.
With your mind, you know, you use, it isn't just the dowsing. It has to be the mind. That's why we started the Ozark Research Institute, my husband and I. He was the president of the society, of the Dowsing Society, for over 4 years and a trustee for over eight. And he knew that there was more to the connection with the water when that stick dropped down. You know, the belief is that when the stick goes down, it's because it's connected to the water. Well, we use plastic now. Plastic rods aren't connected to, you know, the water. When they use willow and witch hazel and things like that, that might have made sense. But he said, there's a reason why I always get what I ask for when I go out and look for a well for somebody. And he did. And he said, is it there because I've asked for it, or was it there before I asked for it? And so he really believed that your mind had something to do with it.
With creating it.
With helping create it.
That's like, is there any sound when a tree falls in
That's
the forest?
That's right. Ask, and, you know, and we believe in the ask and ye shall receive. And I truly believe that you can't get anything in your life if you don't ask for it.
No, that's true.
It's a bit different than The Secret. You know, they said all we had to do was ask, but we still have to do something physically to get what we want. And I think the rods, when we're doing the dowsing, is part of the physical.
Wow, it's really interesting. Now, I know your husband was an amazing healer.
Yes.
But he took ill and left, right?
Yes.
This is an awkward question, isn't it? It's not a judgmental question. It's just trying to understand.
I understand.
Was he ready? Was that the thing?
You know, I believe he was. And I believe that at that point in time, and he would tell me this in the hospital, that he couldn't focus. He had gotten to the point where his mind, he could not focus his mind to do the work that he needed to do. However, up until the very end, he said they were trying to teach him how to make something that would balance his energy to keep him from dying. But he couldn't get the parts to fit. Now, he was good at what he did. He was very imaginative. And he did it from imagination and from a meditative state.
That's
all the work he did.
Pure metaphysics, isn't it?
Yes, even when you were sitting in front of him and his hands were on your head, he was still doing it from that meditative state. He had a direct connection to something, and I don't know what it was, but he was very good at it. Now, we did everything we possibly could as a group to try to hold him here.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly, the medical people that he had working with him did everything they could. They admired him greatly. And one of them even told me one night, I think we better be doing some meditation tonight, real heavy.
Mm-hmm.
Because he said, I do it every night for Harold.
Hmm.
So, you know, they were special. His team was special that was working with him.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, it wasn't meant to be.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody doesn't receive the healing that they desire or that we desire.
That's like our prayers aren't always answered the way we think they should
be. That's right, but mm-hmm. they're answered in some way.
Well, he could be making a huge difference where he is.
And I believe he is.
Yes.
He was very tired.
Mm-hmm.
He
mm-hmm.
had, he gave an awful lot of himself.
Mm-hmm.
And he took very little time to replenish mm-hmm. who he was. So that is something that I think we should all heed.
Mm-hmm. I think you're right. Do you? Do you pay attention to relaxing?
Yes, ma'am, I do.
Going for a massage and that sort of thing?
When I leave here, I distance myself totally from everybody. And I don't allow phone calls at home. I don't allow visitors at my house. That is my sanctuary, and I don't share it.
Good for you. Now, jumping around, because I don't want to run out of time.
Okay.
And maybe you'll come back another time, because you're just so rich
sure.
in information. But can you tell me about children and dowsing? Because it seems to me that we could help them stay connected, could we not?
Oh, and they are so good at it. And they have no limits, and they learn so quickly.
Yeah.
I have a 23-year-old granddaughter
mm-hmm.
who grew up with dowsing.
Ah.
She saw color, and she saw it until, I would say, a few years back. She kind of lost it. But she was the youngest presenter that the ASD ever had in Vermont.
Wow.
She was 4 years old. And she was up there.
She was 4 years old?
She was 4 years old. She believed it totally and completely. She had no reason to doubt it.
Mm.
She would wave her hand and change the traffic lights for us if we were in a hurry to get across town so we didn't miss the movie.
Oh, that's wonderful.
You know, but she had the abilities and she didn't lose them.
Hmm.
If we can get these children when they're small and teach them this again, and teach them to use it, which the West Coast Conference does. They have a children's class.
Yeah, I heard that. That's great.
And it's awesome.
Hmm.
Teach them. Let them learn the possibilities of what they can do.
Now, somebody said that it's hard for children because they don't have the linear thought process to ask all the right questions. Do you think that's so?
Perhaps at times, it would depend on what they're doing.
But
the first thing a child, when you teach them to douse,
mm-hmm.
the first thing they think about is this. Oh, man, I can use that on my tests. You know, yes and no test, certainly that would work very well for them. True or false.
Right.
You know, but that's the first thing they think of. Their little minds are very clever.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, they learn quickly. And if they have the support that they need, they don't lose it.
Hmm.
But I think they do have the ability to ask the right question, because I don't know a child who does not know what they want.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Let's jump around a little bit. What about, you mentioned felons, or you mentioned criminal minds. Do you know anything about things like PTSD or bipolar? Do people work with mental health difficulties or brains that were charged with negativity? Do they work with those with dowsing?
Well, with the dowsing, I don't know about with dowsing, but I know that we've worked with with that here.
Oh, you have?
Yeah, as a group. Mm. And we have helped some people.
And what does the group do? Does it DAOs collectively, or is it a meditation?
It's a meditation.
Kind of
yeah,
channeling.
It's more a meditation kind of thing that we do. But, you know, I don't think there's any limits to what we can do.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I think the dowsing puts you in that state where you can really get out there and work with this metaphysical, this universal energy that's out there for us.
And you can actually manifest better because you're surrendering and creating, is that right?
Absolutely.
Because you talked Absolutely. About health, and I'm very interested in how we have kind of a tyrannical subconscious at times.
Well,
seems like
we create in our mind everything that happens to us, mentally. You know, we can create an illness in our physical body
right.
by dwelling on something constantly. We can bring it on. So that's why we tell people, well, you know, just go and find out if it is such and such. Because if it isn't, then you're going to be much better off by knowing that.
Yeah, that's right.
Then you can't imagine it happening. Our imaginations are very powerful.
They really are. All right, well, we're going to have to sign off because this is a short interview.
Okay,
but I'd love to talk with you again. You're very, very inspiring, Gladys.
Well, I'll be in Santa Cruz, so
let's
come
give
up
every,
and see me.
Let's give everybody the date so we can all come and see you.
Okay, it is the July the 10th is going to be the workshops all day.
Okay.
And I'm going to be doing a half-day workshop. On the 10th, but the conference is actually the 6th through the 10th.
And you're doing the keynote speaker, aren't you?
And I'm the keynote speaker the night of the 7th.
Great.
Which is exactly 2 years from the day that Harold McCoy passed.
Oh, my. So he'll be present, won't he?
He will. He'll be there with us.
Mm-hmm. He's very yep. supportive of you, isn't he?
He has been, very much so.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So that's wonderful. So, Gladys McCoy, would you like to give a website where people can be in touch with you?
We are at www.ozarkresearch.org.
Wow. And you do research on many different kinds of things through consciousness, through metaphysics, and through dowsing. Is that what I
yes,
understand?
Yes, we do. Yes.
Sounds interesting. I'm going to do a little more research when we're finished
okay.
here. Thank you so much for your time,
Thanks,
Gladys.
Veronica. I appreciate your calling.
Me too. Take
okay.
care.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Thanks, Gladys. Now here's Rob Ryan. Good evening, everyone. You've tuned in to Paradigm Shifters. My name is Veronica Entwistle, and I like to introduce you to some very interesting people that are making a difference in our collective conscious at this time on the planet. And tonight's guest is Rob Ryan, who's an astrological wizard who uses dowsing and astrology kind of together, and we're going to find out how. Welcome to the show, Rob.
Thank you very much.
So you're going to be at the Dowsers Conference, are you, coming up?
I'm actually not so far. I'm one of the day commuters. I get to go in, and that way I don't have to eat as much of the cafeteria food. But it's a great conference. I actually got to be the keynote speaker probably 3 or 4 conferences ago, and
great.
A lovely group of people put it on, and it's about maybe 30 minutes from where I live on the Monterey Peninsula.
Oh, really? Lucky you. It's gorgeous down
there.
I know,
it's tough, but, you know, somebody has to do it.
Somebody has to do it. Well, let's talk about astrology. Have you been doing this for a long time?
I started in 1986. I had several years of classes, and that was unusual because my spiritual teacher, it was something he wanted to teach all of his students. And so he came to me one day. I was working as a contractor at the time. I was self-employed. And he said, I'm going to teach this class in astrology. And I said, well, I'm really just got so much going on. And he said, if you're my disciple, you do what I ask.
Ooh.
Ooh, I took the class. And it changed my life. And I guess you'd say I was one of the better students. And after a year of classes, I got so I could start to just do it, you know, pick up the chart and look at it and make sense of it. And we used to have mystery guests.
Oh, yeah?
And, yeah, it was cool because we'd be sitting in the room, and you'd hear them come through the front door, but you couldn't see them, and they'd walk them down a dark hallway and park them outside of a wall. Never saw them, but the door was left cracked open, and you'd get a first name and their chart, and then people would talk about what they saw in it.
Oh, how interesting.
I had several of the mystery guests come to me afterwards and said that, you know, you're really describing what my life is like.
Oh, wow.
And you should continue to do more of this. So I got some good encouragement.
Wow. So how do you combine, I want to say two things. One is that seems like it's a natural flow for you. It's like talking about dowsing and how it connects us to universal energies. It's like this is a natural flow for you through your...
I see it as my dowsing teacher is somebody named Robert Gandrup, and actually he's a neighbor of mine now. At the time he wasn't. And when Robert was talking to me about it, I went, oh, well... the presentation I gave at the Dowsers Conference was called Dowser Mind.
Hmm.
And how is it that you can douse and know stuff that you shouldn't be able to know with your, you know, taste, touch, hearing, smelling? How can you do that? And I realized, well, dowsers must be testing universal consciousness, the consciousness that's in everything. And somehow they're asking questions of it and getting answers. And that made sense to me. If you had a technique, you could do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so... Robert told me, he just told me that yesterday, I was the best student he ever had.
Oh, wow.
Because I'm able to sit and ask the question. I'm not really attached to getting the answer. Although it's harder to ask questions about yourself, right?
Because
you really care about the answer. So it's easier to douse for other people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm able to do that, ask the question. And I really believe that the answer can be known. My mind may not know, based on my five senses, but definitely the cosmic mind can know what's going on in China or going on 50 miles from me.
Mm-hmm.
And it can know, and it's connected to it. And I believe that I've been taught a technique as a dowser to ask questions and get answers from the cosmic mind.
Hmm. So how do you use it with astrology? I'm interested in this because it seems that you're fairly insightful already, right?
So I've been told I have good intuition, and my astrology suggests that. I have a very powerful planet called Pluto, which is the ruler of Scorpio, and mine is positioned in a way that it's powerful. So I have good intuition anyway.
Well, what is a powerful where is a powerful Pluto located in a chart?
Well, mine happens to be in the fourth house. I was born in the generation of Pluto and Leo.
Okay.
So Pluto hangs out in signs a little bit longer than anything else. And so there was a whole generation, I don't know if it's 10 or 14 years, of people born with that.
I've got that too.
Ah, yeah. Right now we're getting kids that are being born with Pluto and Capricorn.
Hmm.
And it's back where it was in the 1700s when this country was born.
Oh, really?
That's how long it takes to get around through all the signs.
Huh.
So
when you say it's a powerful position, I guess I'm really interested in that because Pluto is the authentication. Isn't that part of what it is, authenticating?
Well, in my chart, the reason it is powerful is that it's directly opposite my Jupiter, which is the planet of coaching and teaching and even evangelizing. And so the way it's set up, then it's in the fourth house, which is the house of the mother and the house of the body and the house of one's ancestors.
Oh, okay.
And so mine was powerfully positioned and opposite the one that would teach and share that. And so I've been told, I'm intuitive, I've had a palm reader tell me that. And so, yeah, I had that going on.
Mm-hmm. When you say it's opposite, does that mean they work together to balance out that drive in you?
Initially, they weren't working together, but, yeah, I've learned to do that. Initially, no, they were driving me. Now I get to dip in and out when I want it. Just before we did our interview, I was meditating, so I've learned to take a break from the brain and the thoughts and the merry-go-round. And so now I can observe it and I can have it serve me rather than be mastered by it.
Hmm. So when do you douse in a chart?
Well, I'll give you an example. So this is a good dramatic one. I had a client call. People will often, they'll work with me and they'll retain me. And so she just called. She said, I've got something urgent today. I need an answer. And I went, well, what's that? She was a single mom. And she said, my former spouse who's been out of our lives for 10 years, I've just been served. And in the next couple of days, I'm supposed to go to court. And he now wants to share custody of my daughter and all of these amazing conditions that he was suing her for, just out of nowhere. And she said, I need an attorney. I need one urgently. And so what I did was I said, okay, so you live in San Jose. So I pulled up a list of family law attorneys mm-hmm. from Google, and I asked a question. Which one of these counsels is by success in similar situations? They've had great success. By personality is going to be someone that my client can talk to easily and understand mm-hmm. and is available at this time in order to give her the answers she needs. And on a scale of 1 to 10, please rank them. And so I went through and doused them. And two of them came up good. One was 8 or 9, and one was a 10. And I told her which ones. And we ended the call. And she called that counsel. The gentleman picked up his phone, answered her questions for 45 minutes, did not charge her, gave her the answers she needed, and she went in and won in court.
Wow.
Another dramatic example is a client I have in Virginia who called and said, I have macular degeneration in both eyes, and one is wet macular and the other one is dry, and I'm kind of freaked out because I'm seeing the spots and I'm scared, and the doctor's telling me it's hopeless. And I said, okay. I looked at her chart, and I thought, it looks like something like either medical qigong or maybe acupuncture could help. And she said, I don't know who I'd go to. And so I doused up a list of practitioners. And I found somebody that was 20 miles from her house, a very funny Chinese name, very odd, you know, the just two-syllable kind of name.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I think this is your one. I actually called him before I gave her the name. It was pretty funny. And the guy got on the phone. He goes, huh? What? I said, well, I'm calling from California. And okay. And it sounded like he was extremely rude, and he could care less, and kind of ended the call with just have her call me. And I was like, it was such bad people skills. I thought, I can't believe I would recommend this guy. But I realized he must be, because he just has a hard time with English. I just have to believe the dowsing. And that's what I told myself. So I called her, and I said, call this guy. I talked to him. At least he answers his phone. And she went, and then she called me, and she said, you got to know. She was lit up. My eyesight is already brighter, and it's the very first treatment.
Wow.
I'm feeling better.
Wow, that's impressive.
It was a very nice call to get.
Hmm.
And it was just because he just didn't like, he doesn't speak very comfortably in English. That's why it sounded so bad.
Well, tell me this, Rob. If you were dowsing her situation, you were dowsing her chart, could you also?
I didn't douse her chart. I read her chart, and then I doused a list from Google of people that practiced Oriental medicine.
Okay, so let me play with this question.
Yeah.
If you had a chart.
Yeah.
I know you've got my chart there, but if you had a chart, and somebody wanted to deal with Pluto. You already mentioned Pluto, and get to a level of balancing and intricately making peace with something. Pluto was confusing in something challenging in your life.
Yeah.
Wouldn't dowsing amp up the energy of that placement in the chart? Do you know what I mean? If we're affected by the energies of our chart, would it not shift or empower one?
My dowsing teacher used to, he does it some still, but he used to do something he called energy structures.
Mm-hmm.
I would call and I'd say, I got a client that's really jammed up. I'll give you an example. This one had a son who was almost drinking himself to death, pretty young. I mean, still in high school, but, you know, find him out, you know, leaning against a tree in the front yard in the morning. He hadn't been to bed that bad. And she said, I'm really concerned about him. I'm worried, and he's mean to me, and he's nasty, and he doesn't appreciate anything. And I called him, and he has a technique using dowsing. We put an energy structure for her and for the kid. The young man came downstairs the next morning, walked into the kitchen, and told his mother, I'm sorry that I've been such an asshole.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah, he quit all of that behavior. ended up going into the military, of all things, which really shocked her, and has done very well since.
Hmm. So the answer to that question is, it's right. I mean, it can be used that way.
Yeah, like dowsers can divert water. Like if your well is not performing well or it's going dry, they can divert a vein of water in. I don't do this stuff, okay? I'm just telling you what I know, because I saw him divert this kid. Yes, they can.
So you don't do that kind of thing at all?
I don't do that stuff. I work with people, and I work on the way they're, what they believe, and you know, they'll have a goal or something they want to get to, and then they've got this set of behavior or beliefs, and so what does the astrology say about shifting that so you can get where you want to go?
Hmm.
And then we talk about what that conversation's like in the mind, and we also talk about when. Because timing tells you when it's going to be easier to do what you want.
And does a person's chart show how they would hold beliefs?
It shows all of it. It shows what was going on in their birth family. I mean, you can even see stuff about conception.
Hmm.
And then what the parents were like, and then what kind of a pattern they're in, and then also where the way is out of the pattern. You can see all of that.
Hmm. Well, where's the way out of my pattern?
Well, you want to pick a pattern here? Let's see. I'll take a look. So yeah, you've got a ton of planets in Gemini, as you told me, which I just pulled up your chart.
It makes me a chatterbox, but that should be true for you too, as an Aquarian, eh?
Well, there's a little difference. So Gemini and Aquarius and Libra are the three air signs.
Mm-hmm.
So Gemini, which you have strong, is the one who's like a kid that's always on a field trip. And it's just ever curious. So you've got that very, very powerful. You're endlessly curious. Eighth house where this is everything about the mysterious and the hidden or the occult or metaphysical. It's like, I want to know. I want to know. I want to know.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. So you have that very, very strong. Aquarius is a little different slant. It says, okay, so yeah, we asked a lot of questions, but Aquarius is fixed. So it says, how am I going to use this or consolidate it or employ it?
Hmm.
So my thing is the application of metaphysical knowledge. And yours would be the discovery, more on the discovery end of it.
Hmm.
Not that you don't apply it, but anyway, there's a little bit of difference in the emphasis.
Well, let me throw a funny belief in, okay, that I have a funny belief, which is that I have a Mars in Pisces.
Okay. Yeah,
and in that belief, that what I was taught was that Mars in Pisces means that you don't really get anywhere, you can't get going, and sometimes I have trouble getting going. And I was talking to a channel recently and said, "Why don't you get going?" I said, "I think it's because I have a Mars in Pisces," and they just howled and said, "Well, get over that, you know, rip up your chart or something." What would you say? It's funny.
I'd say something very different. So
I was hoping you would. It would be interesting.
So Mars in Pisces is actually a pretty wonderful thing.
Oh, good.
Mars, first of all, is initiative, and if it was in another sign like Aries, it would want to conquer.
Mm.
It's the martial planet. But in Pisces, it's winning spiritually.
Uh-huh.
So it's to have spiritual victories. It would be to have visions or to win grace or to win healing. So to have that very powerful is wonderful.
Well, that's
my very best friend in life has got Mars in Pisces, and he is a spiritual champion.
Hmm.
He's in service to my teacher and has been for... I've been with my teacher for 42 years, and he's been with him probably for 45 or 6.
Oh, really? He's a meditation teacher?
Meditation, yeah. Mm-hmm. So he's just got to be the best disciple, in my opinion, because he is.
Hmm.
Well, Mars in Pisces is being the best spiritual aspirant.
Hmm.
But yours, now you were asking about balancing,
mm-hmm.
yours has got a little bit of a challenge. It stands opposite of Neptune and Virgo.
Mm.
And Neptune and Virgo says, oh, spiritual champion, fooey on that. Look at all the birds that fell out of nest today and all the suffering in the world. And there's just so much that needs to be done. There's so many people that are hurting. And I can't be taking care of myself when the whole world is in pain.
Mm.
And so you move between what you could do as a leader or for yourself or spiritually, and then all of the creatures, all God's creatures that need comfort. And then it's very difficult for the Mars to be focused.
Hmm.
because there's so many ways that you can bring relief and some gentleness. And that's so the two of them together tend to go into a kind of a drowning cycle.
Oh.
Because it's just too much. There's a lot of world and not so much Veronica.
So can we, I'm going back to you, and hypothetically, it doesn't have to be about me, but is this an example where we could douse a solution to release
Actually, there's an astrological solution.
Oh, goody. Okay, we like that.
So your Mars, instead of struggling with the Neptune, makes this great connection to a planet called Jupiter in Cancer.
Whoa-ho.
And I mean, like, within 5 degrees of perfect. I mean, this is a really nice connection. It's in your ninth house. And so it says, Jupiter says, well, instead of trying to rescue all the baby birds, how about we educate people about looking out for the birds? And why don't we do something like broadcasting or publishing?
Yay!
And what I'll do is I'll go into a proactive mode, a very happy mode of helping everybody be a champion for love.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
And so then you take your mind off or your attention off the impossible and put it on the possible. And it ends up that you actually do a lot more good that way.
Hmm.
It's not that you wouldn't take care of your cat or your goldfish at home. Of course, you'll still do that. But you're much more effective in a role as an educator.
Hmm. That's good. So that it's when they're all in relationship, isn't it? That's
it's all about relationships.
Intriguing.
I did a presentation at a bookshop the other day here on the peninsula, and I did the Dalai Lama, Pema Chodron, Thich Nhat Hanh, and Rumi. And
oh,
I looked
wonderful.
At charts for those four.
Huh.
And all of them had chosen life paths where they took the easy parts of their astrology, they diverted their attention away from the struggles, and they did what came easily.
Interesting.
Yeah. So it's much easier for you to be a broadcaster than to be Florence Nightingale.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Because I just get exhausted doing that. What's it easier for you to be?
It's much easier for me to be an astrologer than be a contractor. There's just no comparison.
But the spiritual path is also crucial for you, and it is for me. It is for some people, right?
Yeah.
That makes life easier as well.
Yeah, that's just an indication that you've had enough lives that you know that it's really important to make the spiritual reality the central feature.
Well, this has been fascinating. So let's switch back to dowsing for our last few minutes.
Yeah.
How did you got started dowsing before you did astrology, right?
No, it was well after.
Hmm.
I met my teacher, Robert, probably. I met him actually when I was working as an astrologer, so that would have been somewhere in the 1980s is when I met him. And he mentioned that he did it. He was also a pilot, which was cool.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he's a pilot. He's a great teacher because, like, pilots have flight routines and they have pre-flight lists, and he's very organized. He's one of the most organized people.
Hmm.
And so he had an organized step-by-step way of teaching it, and that's how I learned astrology, and that's how I learned the spiritual path. Because my teacher, my spiritual teacher, his name is Swami Guru Premananda.
Hmm.
He was an engineer by training initially,
hmm.
and so he taught everything step-by-step. So
that's
once Robert explained, it works like this, it works like this, it works like this, he laid it out. I was like, I could do it. And by the way, he'll be at the... He teaches at the dowsing school at the start of the conference.
Oh, wow.
So people are looking for a great dowsing teacher. He is the cat's meow.
What's his name again?
Robert Gandrup, G-A-N-D-R-U-P, Robert Gandrup.
Wonderful.
Really good dowsing teacher.
Wonderful. So I guess what you're telling me is that the dowsing kind of amps up our relationship to what all that is, really, doesn't it?
Yeah. It lets you question all that is with questions that you have needs for. When I was engaged and I lost my wedding ring, my engagement ring, which was my wedding ring, I went to Robert and I said, I've lost it. It's worth $5,000 and I can't find it. And he took a map of the property and doused it and said where it was. And sure enough, it was.
Hmm.
So it's those kind of questions you can ask universal intelligence. Where's my answer?
How can we make sure we're accurate, Rob?
I went and found my ring.
This is called an engineer's approach. It's a practical approach.
Yeah,
right?
It's real practical. It's there, it's not.
Do you think people
where
can be
told
deceived?
Me it was really funny. It was a bare hardwood floor, and there's one chair in this position. Mm-hmm. And I said, I already looked at the chair, and I looked on the floor. And he said, what can I tell you? It's what the dowsing says. So I went up, and I tipped the chair over, and the ring fell out. It was in the spring of the Lazy Boy.
Oh, isn't that funny?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. Is that good?
Do people ever get deceived by dowsing?
Well, I don't know about deceived. I mean, if you're invested in an answer or you're really just testing your own prejudices, then you get the answer you wanted.
Right, right.
So deceived or
self-deception.
Yeah, self-deceived, sure.
Well, Rob, this has been absolutely delightful. How do people find you? Can you give your website and your...
I'll give my toll-free. It's real easy. It's my name. It's Rob Ryan, but it's 1-888-ROB-RYAN.
Oh, wonderful. Rob Ryan, like it sounds, Rob.
Yeah, ROBRYAN, and that's 888-762-7926. I'm on LinkedIn and Facebook also under that same address, 888-ROB-RYAN.
Well, I wish we were coming to the Dowsers. I'd love to meet with you. This has been very, very wonderful. Thank you.
I've enjoyed my time with you too, Veronica. Thank you, and I appreciate the invitation and the opportunity to be part of what you're doing. And you're a lot of fun to talk to.
Thank you
so much.
I've done
a lot of interviews, and I will tell you, this has been my favorite of all of them.
Oh, what a sweet thing to say. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Well, you've just validated what you just said by talking about my chart.
Well, it wasn't just that. You're just really easy to talk to. I mean it. It's just really comfortable.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Well, maybe we'll meet one day, so take care.
All right.
Thank you. Bye.
You're welcome. Bye.
You've been listening to Paradigm Shifters. For feedback on this show, suggestions of other guests, or just a session with me, Veronica at VeronicaEntwistle.com. No H in Entwistle, Veronica at VeronicaEntwistle.com. Thank you so much for listening. Good night and many blessings.